time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it?
Yo, welcome back, listeners. It's a new year. It is a new episode. This is the Hot Seat. We are brought to you by The Game Entertainment Media. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.com, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com, or you can hear us on all platforms, Spotify, Apple, Podbean, Podtail, Podworld. I always say Podworld. I still don't think that's a real one, but we're on there, too. We're everywhere. We're international. We're in Canada. We're in the United States. Tonight, we're here in Escanaba, Michigan. This episode of The Hot Seat is always, of course, sponsored by Most Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. It's the best place to catch the game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba when they're open for in-person dining. Of course, they're the best place to go to catch the game, but they are still open for takeout. This episode is also sponsored by So Right. It is a fitness product invented and owned by my friend Mac Mollahan. Dude I know from Montana, from my roots. Check it out, SoRight.com. They got YouTube videos. I was telling Tyler before recording that I've been on a big bender on wrestling. And I actually texted Mac this week because The Undertaker, I was watching the Last Ride documentary, was using the So Right in one of the episodes. And I actually got one here in my house. I'm going to grab it real quick just to show Tyler what I'm talking about. It's a little fitness product, super affordable. Anybody can use it in their home. So Right, check it out, SoRight.com, P-S-O-R-I-T-E.com. It is an absolutely incredible product. So SoRight.com, Mac and I are working on getting a discount code for you. So check them out. I'll give you the discount code next week. But, of course, this is the Hot Seat. We're here in Escanaba. With me, as always, is my dear friend. He is Escanaba Excellence. He is the notorious N-O-R-S-E. With me, as always, is my co-host, Tyler Ouellette. Tyler, what's up, buddy? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, EJ. It is great to be back. Yeah, we had some little break over the holidays there. Christmas, New Year's. Well-deserved break, I think. So, glad we're back. It's a lot to talk about.
Sorry to surprise you with the new sponsor. I've had my So Right for a few years. He sent me a bunch. I gave a bunch of the stuff out, but I love this thing. I always use it for stretching before I go golfing. It's an absolutely fantastic fitness product. Originally designed to work your psoas muscle, which is where it becomes the So Right, but it's a cool product. Don't ask me where the psoas muscle is.
I couldn't
Max
tell you.
The fitness guru. He played football at Montana State, and he's That's an cool. awesome guy. His mother, I call her Auntie Gino. She's a big part of my adoption at birth, but we'll save that for the sappy backstory episode for like when something bad happens to one of us. But we're here. This is the Hot Seat. We're going to get in our gripes and groans because, boy, howdy, am I in a bad mood. And I never say boy, howdy. Like, I'm real friggin' mad today. And we're going to start off with number one. Dolan family, the owner of my Cleveland Indians, you are on the hot seat because you traded away my favorite baseball player. Now, I do understand that Lindor was going to be a free agent next year, but you traded away him and got back a bunch of junk pieces. And then you threw in Carlos Carrasco, one of our best starting pitchers in there, when you could have got all four of those guys for just Lindor. What are you doing? Terrible value trade. Super mad at my organization right now. I think if there's anybody that this organization was going to pay, and Tyler, I know you're going to bring up some statistics that support kind of what I'm getting at here. They should have paid Lindor. Out of anybody the organization's had in a long time, Lindor is the guy to pay. Probably the best five-tool shortstop I've ever seen. Just an incredible player. I'm super mad about this. The Mets got a great deal here as the Indians trade those two guys to the New York Mets for four players. I'll name their names later, but bad value here. Very bad value. The Mets get better, but I still think they'll find a way to screw it up. Tyler.
Yeah, EJ. You can see this coming. The Indians, they have, well, I actually did not believe this. They have the smallest payroll in MLB right now. So they are a small market team, but this is bad. Like, I didn't realize they were the 30th in the whole league. So they just don't spend money. The Dolans don't spend money, and it's just kind of been a thing for a while now. And like you said, Lindor is, he's a top three shortstop in the, I'd say like DJ LeMahieu for the Yankees is up there too. Machado plays third now, I believe, but he was in the conversation. Tatis.
Lindor is the best shortstop in baseball. Give me a shortstop that can go out and win a gold glove, that can steal bases, that is as intelligent as a player as he is, can hit the ball with pop and knows when to hit the ball, where and when to hit it. I mean, he's an absolutely incredible player. And for the Indians to give the farm away for a guy that's probably one of the best players to ever come through your organization, you give up Lindor and Carrasco for Andrés Giménez, Amed Rosario, Isaiah Green, and Josh Wolf. So that's two infielders, an outfielder, and a right-handed pitcher for probably the best player on your team and your second-best starting pitcher. This is a bad trade. I just don't like it.
Yeah, and I was kind of confused with the Carrasco part, too. I feel like we said this earlier before the show, that you would think they could have just got all those four just for Lindor. So I'm not really sure on Carrasco's salary or his contract situation, but he can't be worth that much anymore. He's had a couple struggling years recently. So
here's the thing that bothers me too. Just to touch on your struggling years real quick, the guy went through cancer, had to come back in the league. I don't know if anybody remembers in the All-Star game, I stand up for, and all the Indians guys in the All-Star games had Cookie, and that's his nickname, Cookie Carrasco. He was really, really loved by the organization. I don't understand why he was part of this.
Right. And yeah, Lindor, that's a huge for the Mets. That's a huge move for a new owner, Cohen. They have a new owner, the Stephen Cohen family.
And they'll still screw it up.
I don't know. I mean, I like where they're going. Trevor Bauer, a former Indian as well. He looks like he's leaning towards signing with the Mets this offseason. So that just helps with Syndergaard and, who's the other stud? They have another stud pitcher.
I don't know his name.
It's the best pitcher in the league, damn near. I'll get to that. I can't believe I just drawing a blank. But Syndergaard.
Google Bauer, it. You got your laptop.
Yeah, I am. But yeah. So
Here's the thing about Bauer is he's not the easiest player to get along with because he's kind of a unique character. He does things his own ways. He's not always the most coachable guy. Ask Terry Francona. After he launched that ball over center fielder, he got cut. And Kipnis, you remember Kipnis flinching? That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. But it was Jacob deGrom for the Mets. He's like a top five starting pitcher in the league.
Thor.
Thor is Syndergaard, I believe.
Whatever. They're all still studs.
They're the Mets. And then they have Pete Alonso, first base, who was part of that future. So
is Cespedes still in that lineup?
He left the team last year. It was a weird situation.
I thought it was a COVID thing at first.
It was, and then he just didn't show up one day. So I don't know if he's still on the roster, but he wasn't playing horrible when that last year. He's an outfielder, obviously. So they have a lot of pieces.
Sounds like that movie Office Space where the guy doesn't quit his job. It's like, oh, so you quit? It's like, no, I'm just not going to go to work. Oh, so you quit? No, I'm just not going to go. That's what it feels like. He's just like, yeah, I'm just not going to come today.
Yeah, and so I just like the Mets being competitive. Obviously, they don't play the Yankees a lot because they're in AL and NL, but it's good to see. Say the Mets be, it's kind of like the Clippers Lakers, you know. I mean, the Yankees are always seem to be better than the Mets, and the Lakers are better.
Yeah,
than
but
Clippers.
The Mets have screwed so many things up. David Wright was arguably the best third baseman in baseball over a 10-year period, and they just sorry, I will get a little dirty here with the language. They just pissed it away. We don't swear on the show, and that's a little.
They
made
a World Series.
That Subway Series against the Yankees, but that was in the 2000s.
No, recently they played the. They just made it. They lost. I think they lost to the Royals.
Oh, whatever. Who cares? Nobody remembers because nobody cares about those two teams because they've been so abysmal. Like that Royals team was probably, and we need to get away from this topic in baseball here and get onto our second hot seat. But that Royals team, if you got your starting pitcher the fifth inning, you were done. That bullpen was fantastic, and they had Alex Gordon at the height of his career. I think Didi Gordon, that fast kid.
He was on that team at the time.
Bill Butler, what was his name?
Billy Butler, yeah, he struck out.
Billy Butler,
but he hit home runs. So
and their catcher, what's Eduardo Salvador?
Salvador Perez.
Salvador Perez.
He's
thank
still
you.
There, but he was good, really good then.
I'm thinking of Eduardo Perez in the booth. Yeah. That's where I mixed it up. But no, that was a really good Royals team. But
and then they're just rebuilding ever since. It's just weird. They won it. That's what the Indians are about to do.
It was,
they make the World Series playoffs.
We'll be see you guys in 20 years. All right, Tyler, so, second hot seat. I'm done beating the drum here, like John Adams in center field. Go Tribe or whatever you're gonna be called.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be the Spiders.
I'd be okay with that. I don't like that name. I think the one name I really did like was Tribe, but the Dolans, of course, screwing everything up. They want to blatantly get away from the Indians moniker.
Yeah.
And my thing that bothers me is like, okay, so there are Viking tribes, there are African tribes, there are Native American Indian tribes. Like, they're tribes all over the world, so I have no issue with that name, but they want to kind of clear themselves of that BS. So I'd be okay with the Spiders, but you better make it a really cool hat, because I don't want to wear some...
I don't want to screw that up.
I'm not wearing the blue and red Spider-Man like I'm a Marvel or whatever it is. But second hot seat, Tyler. This one's you, buddy.
All right, yeah. So that's our baseball talk for the day, for the night. But second hot seat, the Eagles. Okay, this really angered me how they handled that Sunday night game against the Washington football team. Just horrible. And I get like wanting to see some of your bench players, because you have no shot. If no one's familiar with what happened, the Eagles were playing the Washington football team. Washington wins.
This was let's be clear. This wasn't football.
No,
this
it was bad.
This was about the one unspoken rule that you can't break.
Yeah, so Washington. Okay, so earlier the Giants played the Cowboys. Giants beat Dallas. So the Giants are in the playoffs, winning the horrible NFC East if Washington loses to the Eagles. Washington wins, they're in. So the Eagles, okay, so they're in the game. They're in the game. I think at halftime they were down 3 or 4. I'm going to look at the score really quick. Anyway, so they're in the game with Hurts. So they're playing.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Yeah, they're playing well, and they're not doing bad. Washington can't get anything.
They were in the game.
Like, easily. Yeah, they could have won the game. They only lost by 6 still. They put
one turnover could have still decided the game.
Yeah, they put their third string Nate Sudfeld in the third quarter, down 3. With a lot of time left with the ball, third quarter, they take Hurts out, who has 2 rushing touchdowns in the game. Wasn't passing well, but there's no reason to use your best player on the field all night. Take him out, and obviously Washington still only wins by 6, 20-14, but the Eagles probably didn't have a first down after they put Sudfeld. I don't think they did. And it was the most pathetic, and everyone, Chris Collinsworth was on the call Sunday Night Football. He called them out. He tried not to say what he wanted to say, really, but he called them out straight up, pretty much saying, like, this is not football. This is not NFL football. It was horrible, and I feel so bad. People are saying you can't feel bad as a Giants fan. Like, 6-10, you need someone to lose to get in. It was 6 wins. I don't care.
Well,
like,
no, if you're the Giants, you don't get to feel bad about that, but what's bad
you do.
Screw the Giants.
win
more games that you don't have to worry about a team losing. Like, come on. But here's what I'll say. I'm really surprised to see it from Doug Peterson. This is a guy from Andy Reid's tree. This is a guy that was a backup for the Green Bay Packers and understands winning. To see him do it is kind of what bothers me most about this. And you're breaking the unwritten rule of football, which is players and coaches play and coach. Those pieces are always supposed to give it their all. If your organization gives you a heaping pile of hot dog crap, your job as a head coach is to go, I'm going to turn this into a diamond. Like, I'm going to press it together. I'm going to make this work. That's your job. And the players are supposed to take the piece they have, give it their all, and always try to win. And I think that the New York Jets winning their first game this year restored my faith in football, because you're about to get a smack. I know they won too.
No, I'm just saying.
We'll get into a second. But
I get it. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah,
thank you.
The Browns, everyone.
Tyler, I've never wanted to be violent on the show, but right now I want to take a twisted tee and smack you on the side of the head like that kid in Circle K.
Yeah.
No, but it's just a BS move. You're in the game. Jalen Hurts was rushing the ball well. He's getting in the end zone. you can't give up no matter what. And I hate that most of the Giants players went and were like, oh, this is the Eagles just screwing us because we're the New York Giants. Listen, nobody cares about you that much. Like, everyone else in the world was trying to see Alex Smith go to the playoffs with the Washington football team.
I wanted him to go.
Because it was a great story. Nobody cared about the Giants. So, really disappointed to see that Doug Peterson did that move.
And for draft position's sake, I think they went up from the 9th pick. If they would have won, they would have been 9th. They went up to 6th.
It was a good draft move.
I mean, yeah, but 3 picks. I mean, it's big, but like...
You weren't going to the playoffs anyways.
It's just not worth doing what you're doing. I hated to see that. Especially a Sunday night, the last game of the year. Like, everyone in the world...
If the organization had said, hey, these players are scratched because we don't want them playing, that's that. But if Doug Peterson pulls the guy, that's different.
They already had, like, half their team sitting this week. Just out. You know, I mean, some were hurt, but... I don't know. It was just ugly to see, in my opinion. So...
Well, since you're going to piss on my parade here, yeah, let's talk about the Browns again, okay?
Two Cleveland things.
No, this is BS here, though. And anybody that knows me knows that this is a pretty valid argument, okay? And on the third hot seat is the NFL and Commissioner Goodell, okay? The Baltimore Ravens struggled with COVID issues early in this year, and it felt like you flexed them for 3 weeks to make sure that your former MVP could get on the field and do whatever. The Browns get COVID-19 against the little PP Jets in a year that everybody's waiting to see what Cleveland can do. Everyone's been watching Cleveland this year. And the whole wide receiver room gets COVID, and you make them play that game. Why didn't you flex that game? Now Kevin Stefanski's got COVID. Now Joel Bitonio's got COVID. Now Hodges got COVID. Now a bunch of our guys got COVID. And we're going into a playoff game against Pittsburgh Steelers, our third time playing in this year, which, by the way, 18 years ago when we made the playoffs, do you know who we played in the first round, Tyler?
What's that?
Last time we made the playoffs was 2002. Who do we play in the wild card game?
The Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, and they came from behind, they beat us, and now we got to go in a year where we probably, in my opinion, have the NFL Coach of the Year, not Sean McDermott, not Flores in Miami, definitely not McDermott.
Flores,
I could live with, because that Miami team far outperformed the roster. But this Browns team's just it feels like they're getting screwed over left and right. I don't understand why Goodell won't flex these games to try to help them. What are they going to say? Oh, we want to have it on the weekend. Oh, yeah, well, every Sunday is NFL, but you put Baltimore on a Tuesday, on a Thursday, on a Wednesday, whatever it was, just to get them on the field because the former MVP was playing. This is BS, man. Absolute garbage. The Browns are going to end up getting the raw end of the deal here, and I really, really, as a fan, hope that we win this game against Pittsburgh. And the Browns just put their boot right up Goodell's rear end. It's BS.
No, yeah, I'm totally rooting for the Browns on Sunday night.
End of rant.
Yeah. I get your pain. I mean, it's not as big as a scale, but the Lions also got 2 weeks ago they played Tampa, got embarrassed on a Saturday. They could have pushed that to Sunday. Well, the Lions were out every defensive coach and their head coach.
Here's the thing I'll say about that game, though.
Push it to Sunday.
But the Lions were out of the mix early. Like, Browns have been in the hunt. These games should have been, like, everybody in the world knew that in order to have a shot to win the AFC North, the Browns had to win out and meet Pittsburgh with both teams with 11 wins and, or 4 losses or whatever, 5 losses, whatever it was, okay? 11 and 4. They had a shot at playing the last game of the year. Week 17 in Cleveland for the AFC North crown winner take all with both winning records. And the NFL just shot away the opportunity for a great Week 17 matchup to let the New York Jets get their second win of the year and again screw up getting Trevor Lawrence. It's just if the NFL is all about making money, like, I can understand taking your former MVP and flexing him. Of course, everybody wants to see what he does. But when you got an opportunity for a historic matchup, for a division, in a year that a team can break one of their biggest playoff droughts in the NFL against the mighty Pittsburgh Steelers, why would you not? That could have been your Monday night, your Sunday night, whatever game. You could have flexed it late. Everyone would have been watching that. It would have been a fantastic matchup. And instead, Goodell went, no, let's just let the Jets piss on on the Browns here because they don't need a wide receiver, so Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt won't be able to run the ball. Oh, and by the way, sorry, you got probably the best head coach in football right now for your team. Yeah, but we're going to make you have to go with this backup. It's just, screw you, Udell. This is why I love Portnoy. I want one of those clown shirts right now. It's just a joke.
Yeah. No,
all right,
no.
Now I'm going to shut up.
I can't believe that the NFL got through every game this year without having to – I mean, they obviously did the Ravens thing, push back a couple games. But, like, it seemed like earlier – ever since the Ravens won, I don't think they had to push a single game back, which is actually a huge credit to the NFL. I mean, I don't understand. I couldn't believe that every game got played. That's a huge accomplishment for a team. NFL, there's 50 people on the roster, 53 on the roster, traveling across the country, and no game got canceled. So, good for the NFL. I don't like Udell. They handled some of this really bad, but I'm just shocked every game got played. So, yeah.
Playoffs, Goodell does a lot of things right.
A lot of things he
got
wrong.
This one wrong. I think some of his punishments are wrong. But, again, in the CBA that they negotiated, Goodell does have that power, so that's on the players. I think he's missing a big opportunity here, and the main reason he's doing it is because he doesn't want to squander those advertising dollars, because that Sunday, Saturday night spot.
Oh, Sunday night's the biggest.
It's a lot better than a Tuesday spot. So he's a good businessman. That's why he's made the NFL so successful. But as far as what your fans want to see, you're missing the boat here. So we'll finish that. That's the final hot seat. Well, we're right in the NFL playoffs. And we're going to do a straight up pick 'em. Okay. Because there are, was it 7 games?
14 games? 6 games, 3 each day.
No, but the, yes, okay, yes, 3 two each buys. Day, etc. But, sorry, there's 14 teams, so I went with 7 in my head. But
mm-hmm. I get it.
Here we go. The playoffs are starting. Let's get right into it. We're going to do a straight-up pick 'em. We're going to highlight each game. I'm trying to get them pulled up here. Tyler, you got the games pulled up?
Yeah, I do.
All right, Tyler, name the first game and roll with it.
Oh, yeah, so Saturday, January 9th. NFL playoffs, we're back. The Colts are at Buffalo. That's a 7-2 matchup. 1 o'clock kickoff, CBS. I have to mention something. I'm looking at ESPN. Tickets as low as $10,000 right now if you want to buy one. So if you want to get to Buffalo.
Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah. We need donations.
Good thing flights are cheap.
Yeah, right? But, so Indy at Buffalo. I think Buffalo rolls. Indy's Rivers has done a great job, and I think Jonathan Taylor's going – he just had like 250 rushing yards, which is insane for a rookie. He's been playing really well. Colts have had a good year. I think they – let's see what they ended up as. Yeah, 11-5. I did not see that coming when they signed Rivers. I figured they – I don't know. I think they could have made the playoffs, but 11-5 record's really, really well done. The Buffalo has been on a tear. They've been unreal, 13-3. Jonathan Allen's playing really good. Their whole Diggs is just amazing. But the Bills, I think they're going to make the AFC Championship. I don't know if they're going to play Kansas City before. They won't, if that's how it works. If the Chiefs, Bills are in the AFC Championship, that's going to be a hell of a game. So
mm-hmm.
the Bills are running. They're running away.
Okay. The only way the Colts hang here is if their defense shows up, and I don't think that that's going to happen. And I got into an argument with some guy on Facebook earlier about Fox NFL gave McDermott Coach of the Year, and I just thought that was stupid because we'll get into that in a minute. But I won't get into that because I'll get real heated. But the Bills have been in the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years, okay? They had a 10-win team last year. They're 13-win team this year. Okay. Here's why I like Buffalo this year. I think that they're the best team in the AFC. I think that they're going to go into Kansas City in the AFC Championship game and find a way to win. I think they easily handle the Colts here because Josh Allen is playing fantastic football. Sean McDermott is a good coach. I think their defense is strong. And I like the addition of Stephon Diggs. He's been absolutely wonderful for them this year. They got Cole Beasley, who's an absolutely underrated stud this season. The Bills, I think they blow out the Colts in this game. So I'm going to go Buffalo over Indy.
Yeah, pretty at home. With the fans for the first time, it's going to be a good game. I don't know why that's the first game, 1 o'clock. But the Bills deserve a little better than that. But yeah.
Well, here's the next game's probably my favorite of the weekend. And you got an NFC West matchup. between the Seahawks and the Rams. 12-4 Seahawks host the Los Angeles Rams at 10-6. This is the 4:40 game. It's going to be on Fox. Who you got here, Tyler? I know who I got, but this is probably my favorite matchup.
If Goff plays, because I know he was out last week, I'm not sure who's playing this game. If Goff plays, he's playing. They're winning. I mean, the Rams are. If he plays, he's playing. Yeah, I said that. Whatever. The Rams are winning if Goff plays, and they have a, honestly, this sounds weird, but they have a solid chance even without Jared Goff, and that's simply because Seattle's offense has not been good as of late, and it's been, like, all right, but it's not really as good as it was beginning of the year, and Wilson's not playing as well, and I just like the Rams' defense in general. I think it's a beast. The defensive line, obviously, with Donald, and then...
Say his name.
Aaron Donald, and then Leonard Floyd. He's on the team. Who's just balling too. The Rams are, I think the Seahawks are like favored by 4.5, 3.5 here. I would take the Rams here. I like the Rams a lot. I don't know. How about you?
Holy cow. Hold on a second. Tyler, say some words.
Someone's coughing. Say some words. Yeah, like I said, the Rams. I don't know. Russell Wilson, though, if he does find a way, he's that good to where he can be the difference, obviously.
All right, I'm here. You're back. I'm in I like the Seahawks here. I absolutely like the Seahawks at home. I think Russell Wilson is a stud. I don't think he's had a losing season in his career. Was this his 9th, 10th year? Either. He has not had a losing season. I like him and Pete Carroll. I think that defense has been really inconsistent. But they're the division champs going against a division opponent, so I'm going to take the Seahawks at home. Okay. Short, sweet, and to the point.
That's going to be a really good game. That is. I'm excited.
It'll be one. Like, I wouldn't bet the spread on this. I'd take the money line. Bet it straight up. And I'll do this. You know what? We're going to do a little pick 'em talk at the end. I'm going to make this one of my picks for this week. I'm taking the Seahawks straight up money line. Okay. And I just think that they find a way to win this game. This is a great game to bet. I think it's going to be a great game to watch. You're not going to make a ton of money, but you're going to be invested. So I'm going Seahawks here, money line.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Moving on to the night game, which is also a very interesting matchup on Saturday night. Tampa Bay at the Washington football team. I just love how Washington
division champions.
They just get a home game at 7-9. That's just weird how that. I don't know. I don't really like how that works. I don't mind
division champions.
No, I don't mind them getting in as a division champion, but I don't think they should be the top four seeds. Like they should be like.
I disagree.
I think it should go by record.
The NFL has always awarded you for winning your division, Kate.
No, that's what
the
I'm saying.
The last time the Browns had 10 wins, okay? I think it was the 2007-2008 season. Browns were 10-6 that year. Derek Anderson was our quarterback. And like he was cool at the moment. And we didn't make the playoffs because I believe the Chargers at 7-9 won their division, and we ended up missing out, and they won the AFC West. And I'll never forget that held us out, but I always remember because you have to win your division. You win your division, you get a home game. That's part of the you play no one more than your teams in the division. You should be rewarded for winning the division.
Oh, I get you should be in. I do agree that when you're
and I don't like Tom Brady.
I love Tom Brady. I don't think they should get a home game at 7-9. That's just me. But I think Tampa is going to roll their offense.
Win the division.
Yeah, well, Evans is questionable with a knee injury. I still think even if he doesn't play, I think Tampa rolls. Obviously, that's kind of shock. They're favored by like a touchdown. But Washington's defense isn't bad. That's why they have 7 wins is their defense. Their offense isn't great.
And my boy Chase Young, Ohio State alumni.
He's defensive rookie.
He said he's coming. The Fox NFL Awards gave it to him.
Yeah,
but he called out TB12. He said he's coming for him. I like that.
Yeah, no
little swagger. I think he is the defensive rookie of the year. But he really, if he does get back there and hit Tom Brady, Washington could steal this game because this Tampa Bay team on paper is fantastic. But I haven't seen them gel in a way that for like 2, 3, 4 straight games, they felt like a team.
Yeah, if everything goes, if all the big seeds win or the better seeds win, Tampa will play Green Bay in Green Bay. And that'd be a great game next week. Anyway, so we'll
Sunday then? Yeah, let's go into Sunday. A little bit more AFC action here. And this one might be the game of the week. And that's Baltimore going into Tennessee. Two teams, 11-5, Tennessee winning the division. Who do you got here? Baltimore looks like a real scary team going into the playoffs.
This is going to be interesting. It all depends on the Mars play. I think Derrick Henry is going to run for over 100.
Are you betting this game?
I'll probably bet. I might bet every game, actually. Yeah. What's the spread? You know the spread? I don't know the spread on this. I think Baltimore is favored by 3 in this, even though it's at Tennessee. Baltimore's been playing well. They pretty much had to win out. They weren't looking like they were making the playoffs for a while. And then they win 5 straight. So that, what are you looking at, EJ?
Titans plus 3.5. Yeah, money lines plus 160. Titans over under 54.5.
Yeah. So Ravens are favored by 3.5. So I don't know. Baltimore's hot. They're really bad teams any of the year, Jaguars, Giants, and Bengals, but they're winning. After that Browns game, that crazy good Browns game, they've won and they did what they had to do.
So, Ravens have rolled off at least 5 straight.
Yeah.
Titans last 5, they're 3-2.
So it's just a tough game. I don't know. And Lamar's been playing good.
What's the bet?
Give me Titans plus 3.5. Not money liner. Just give me the points.
Okay. Fun fact. How many yards Derrick Henry?
How many do you think he's going to have? He's going to have 142.
142?
Yes.
I'm going to go plus 200 on the day. I think the Titans find a way to win by way more than 3.5.
So you're going to be money line? Titans money line? The Ravens are favored.
No, like the Titans are going to blow them out like.
Okay.
I'm betting the farm on this game. I think Derrick Henry's going to roll over Baltimore.
I hope the Titans win.
Bet here makes me the most money. That's I bet all of it. Every single part over the all of it. Give me it all.
So we both got Titans. Yeah. Okay. So the Bears and Saints are the 4 o'clock, 4:40. So damn near 5 on Sunday after that game. Chicago's in the playoffs. They're somehow in the I don't know how they, especially after the Lions game where the Lions won on that last, like, they somehow had a miracle win. So the Bears, look at this. They start out 5-1, right? Then they lose 6 in a row, and they're still in the playoffs. I don't understand this whole thing. And then they beat some really bad teams. And then they find the way. I mean, part of it's the Cardinals kind of fell apart.
They accidentally got in the playoffs.
They lose to the Packers. Also, Packers 1 seed. Shout out to them. I know a lot of Packers listeners looking pretty dominant. But, yeah, the Bears sneak in at obviously the lower seed. Play the Saints. They're going to – I don't think they're going to – I mean, it could be – I don't think the Saints have Kamara. He is COVID or he was hurt or something. They might not have.
Doesn't matter.
I think it really matters.
Do you know why it doesn't matter?
Why is that?
Because the Bears about to activate playoff Nick Foles. Mitchell Trubisky is going to come out. He's going to have a terrible first quarter. And here comes Big Slick Nick, we'll call him here. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll take the Bears here. I'll bet on them. Give me the Bears. What's the spread?
I think they're plus 7.5. So Saints are, I think it was around
10.
It's 10.
I'll still take the Bears.
Take a plus 10.
Give me the Bears plus 10. Activate playoff Nick Foles. This is going to be my one wild bet. This is my second bet today. So what my first one I had, it was the Colts game.
Seattle. No, you had Seattle.
Or Seattle. I'm going to take Seattle. And I had the Rams. And then I'm going to take the Bears here plus 10.
Yeah, so I only have one. I have Rams.
This is a terrible bet, but I just want it.
Plus 3.5. Okay, I think the Saints win. Actually, that plus 10's not bad. No, that's not terrible. I mean, picking on the win would have been terrible. I think the
Bears have been playing confident football.
Yeah, yeah.
With Mitchell Trubisky, and if he sucks again, you do get Slick Nick. He's coming in the game. He's a player. He's a player when it comes to showtime. All right. I think the Bears can find a way to steal this.
And their defense is just so good, too. Like, it just...
They're okay.
They're pretty... Mac's always going to do some crazy thing.
Good names on the defense. Yeah, Trevathan, Mac.
So, yeah. I'm not going to bet. I'll probably... You know, I kind of... I don't want to take the same one as you, but... I'll just pass.
You don't have to bet it.
I'll pass on that one.
All right, next game.
We got Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Who?
Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Your team. Oh, I didn't know the Browns made the playoffs.
They made it. Good for you. I hope the Lions can do something.
Of course I know that the Browns made the playoffs.
Good for you. AP, we were kind of talking about this game a little. Third time this year. Rematch of literally last week. What do you got? EJ, I'll let you take the floor on this one a little bit.
Actually, you know what? I don't like that we don't have our head coach. I don't like what the NFL's doing.
Oh, it's terrifying.
I also don't think that the Browns' defense is good enough to play against a Pittsburgh offense that I think does have more talent than we do. I do like our wide receivers when they're all there. I do like our offensive line when we're all there. But Joel Bitonio is a big piece. If he doesn't play, I don't think the Browns win this game. I think if Bitonio's in the game, without Stefanski, I think that the team culture this year is good enough that they could still play Stefanski's game and be well coached. But I don't think that without Joel Bitonio that we'll be able to run the ball the way that we need to in order to win a game. I actually, unfortunately, am taking Pittsburgh in this game. I think that they find a way to win by more than 10 points. I don't think that it's close, but I will say this. I did read an article today that talked about the Browns' game plan in Week 17 against Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's that. And one thing that I did complain about in that game was that Nick Chubb wasn't getting the ball enough, and the Browns said there's a reason that Nick Chubb didn't get the ball enough. So expect to see a heavy load of Nick Chubb. If he has a game, the Browns can win. Nick Chubb's one of the best. I think he's a top three running back in this league. If Nick Chubb has a game and Baker turns the ball over no more than one time, I think we're there. Because when he doesn't turn the ball over, we're competitive. We're in the game. Baker less than one turnover. Nick Chubb runs for over 100, gets a couple scores. We're in this. The Browns can win, but I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm excited for that game. It's a good game to end the weekend off on.
I love what the schedule is.
Excited is a word I don't know if I choose. I'm like really nervous.
I love the schedule. 1-4-8. Back-to-back days, just good games. You know, it's going to be a great weekend. I'm excited to probably bet every game. Maybe go to the Bills game for 10 grand. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But, yeah, so. Bet the house, yes. Bet the house. But I like Pittsburgh, too.
Please gamble responsibly.
Please gamble responsibly, yes. Way to put that in there. It's going to be fun, and I'm glad we're finally here. Playoffs, Lions, of course, looking for a head coach and GM. What's new? That's our playoffs are draft. It's the draft. That's what we get excited for every year. I think we're picking seventh this year. So not awful. Top 10 again. I don't know. We were third last year, so we're up to seven. So that's a little bit of an improvement, I guess. But yeah. Anything you got to add to the NFL?
I have one question.
I'm go shoot.
Super Bowl champion. Go.
Actually, I won't give you the champion. I'll give you the matchup.
Give me the matchup. Yeah.
I think Green Bay is the most complete team in the NFC this year. I think that they've done a fantastic job running the football, and I think that their ability to run the football is what has helped make Aaron Rodgers so successful this year, and I think he will win the MVP. I think Matt LaFleur has done an absolutely fantastic job there. I don't think that Kansas City finds a way to get back to the Super Bowl, though. It's incredibly difficult to get back to the Super Bowl in back-to-back years. Like that's, and I was talking to my buddy Ryan earlier, Ryan Hendricks, shout-out Hendo, about the Buffalo Bills making four straight Super Bowls. Like that, to me, those 4 years, the Bills were the best team in the NFL. Making four straight Super Bowls is difficult.
Yeah.
And to be able to go back to back at all is extremely hard. I think that this Buffalo team and the way that Josh Allen's playing and the addition of Stephon Diggs and Sean McDermott's coaching, I do like his coaching. I think that they find a way to get Bills Mafia over. I think that the Bills go back to the Super Bowl. I think they play the Packers. I don't know who I think is going to win that game, but we'll hit that later because we might not get to Bills Packers. But I think that those are the best two teams in football right now.
I got a surprising pick for you, and I'll explain it a little.
If it's the Browns, I'll pee myself.
No, not that crazy. For AFC, I'll start with the AFC. I like Bills. I like exactly what you said. I love Mahomes. He's obviously gonna be there at least three or four more times. They're weirdly, they're, what are they, 14-2. Last week didn't even count. They didn't start any of their starters. Chad Henne, Michigan grad.
Yeah, but their defense is not nearly as good as
that's what I'm saying. That's what, like, they're 14-2, but in a weird way. Like, there was a lot of closer game. Like, the Raiders game was really close 1 week.
They were quiet this year.
The Broncos. Yeah, they just quietly went. They would have been 15-1 if they lost to the Chargers. Like I said, without Mahomes, that doesn't even count. Chad Henne, I just want
Michigan. You know what they feel like right now?
Through a touchdown, huh?
They feel like the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady Patriots. It's like you didn't even tune in the game because you knew they were going to win.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're going to be the dynasty. As like they're going to do what the Patriots did, and I'm scared for it. I'm glad it's still in the AFC though. Sorry about that, but like they're going to be.
Yeah, but I don't. But you can't hate on a Kansas City Chiefs team. Like
this there's no reason to. I like Mahomes.
This is a town that played in one of the first couple Super Bowls, right? This is a team that's been in this league for a long time. They have a historic tradition. They have a great chant. They have great fans, one of the loudest fan base in the NFL, historic stadium. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs are a team you want to see do well. It's like when the Pittsburgh Steelers win, you can't get mad. When the Green Bay Packers win, you can't get that mad. When the Chicago Bears win, you can't get mad.
Can't get mad about the Packers.
You can get mad about it, but it's like, okay, these are teams that have been around for a while, you know. And hopefully the Cleveland Browns get back there. But
all right, so
you know what I mean.
Yeah. So I'm going Bills on AFC. I think they make it. I hope they do. That'd be great for Bills Mafia. And my NFC is a surpriser. I don't know. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're beating the Green Bay. If it works out, so they might not get to play Green Bay. It might be the Rams. So if Seattle
I'll let you work your way through this because I'm going to need an explanation here. I need players, games, who does well, when, and where. Because Tampa is a very talented football team, but if they're going to find a way to make the Super Bowl, you got to have an excuse for how they get there.
A lot of it's Tom Brady. Tom Brady, okay, that's a pretty easy. He had over 40 touchdowns this year, and people are saying he's washed up. And the reason
43 years old, 43 touchdowns.
Okay, third in the league in passing.
Yeah, I had that one dialed up for you, buddy.
Thank you. 4,633 yards this year, third in the league. Tied for second in the league with 40 touchdowns, 12 picks. All right, that's not great. That come on, like 43. Okay, he's the most
veteran, the picks don't matter.
Veteran quarterback in the playoffs ever. Like he's been there every year for how long? I don't even know. There's not a streak, is there? There has to be.
I'm pretty sure
it's damn near every year.
Your parents and my parents weren't alive the last time Tom Brady missed the playoffs.
Seriously, and good one. But okay, so if and I think they okay, so they did embarrass Green Bay. Do we recall that correct? They beat them 38-10 in Tampa. Obviously, Green Bay has a setup at Lambeau for the first time in Rodgers' career. I think that they're
but Green Bay is a better team than Tampa.
They are. But I think Tom Brady, because he has the most weapons he's had in a long time on offense in a long, long time. Antonio Brown has been playing really good this year. He's low key. He's there. He's made the whole year. He's scoring touchdowns, getting yards. And obviously, if Mike Evans, I think he's going to be healthy for that week. They're going to beat the Redskins.
Had injuries this year.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So his knee's banged up right now. I'm thinking they're going to beat the Washington football team pretty handily. He's not going to have a big part of that game. Godwin is a top 10 receiver, or top 15. But I think Evans is top 10. And then running backs, Evans is top 10. Don't give me that look.
Running backs, Godwin?
I think their offense. The Packers defense is not that great. Jair Alexander, DB, he's really good.
So they're better than they get credit for.
They are. But that's one.
They're
really
good team defense.
So that DB Alexander takes Evans 1-on-1. So Evans is still. I still think he has a good game. After that, there are so many more weapons that they have to account for, and I think I just have a great feeling. I think Tampa. Because then they'll have to either play probably the Saints or Seahawks, correct? That's another road game. They're going to have to go on the road for pretty much every game to get there. Because even the Washington game, they're going to have to go on the road against the 7-9 Washington.
Here's
I love
what
Tampa this year. I don't know.
And if you're going to take Tampa against Green Bay, okay, here's what that game comes down to is coaching. And that's Bruce Arians, the quarterback whisperer, against Matt LaFleur, a guy that's young guy. Hasn't proven a bunch yet, but you probably have the most arm talented quarterback in the history of the NFL.
That's really still good.
A tough game, but I'll take Rodgers' talent over Brady and Bruce Arians because they haven't been together long enough to believe in themselves as much as Aaron Rodgers is a cocky enough jerk to go, no, I got this. Because, no, like, and I don't mean to call him a jerk, but
he is
that arrogant. Mm-hmm. That, like, he's going to go out there and be like, no, I'm the smartest man on the field right now. And he almost always is.
Yeah.
And he knows exactly what he wants to do. I'll take Aaron Rodgers there in that game over Tom Brady in these playoffs.
I mean, they might not even end up playing. I mean, I hope they do. That would be a great matchup. I think the Rams are going to beat the Seahawks, so the Rams would end up playing the Packers. I think that's how that would work. So I don't love Tampa. I love Tampa. So Tampa Bills, and I think the Bills would beat Tampa.
That's a gutsy pick. I like what Tampa's doing, but I just don't think they find a way to get there. But
it was bold. It's very bold. So
we're going to talk about championships. We're going to talk about championships.
Yep. College football.
We're talking about championships. Yes, college football. My Ohio State Buckeyes are going to play the number one ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. And this is a game I'm super excited about. I actually got a friendly bet with my buddy Patrick Wade, who I know is going to listen to this podcast because I'm sending it to him. So shout out to you, buddy. We got a friendly bet. Losers got to wear the winner's shirt. So I'm seriously rooting for my Buckeyes here because I don't want to wear any Bama gear. But Ohio State's going to play Alabama in the College Football Playoff National Championship. The 11th ranked Buckeyes, excuse me, Dabo. Against Bama. Who you got? That was dumb, but you got Bama? You're just going to go Bama, that's it?
I think Bama rolls. And I was on Ohio State Saturday. I bet them plus 7.5. Easy cover, easy win. Bama has 3 out of the top 5 Heisman finalists on their offense. One, obviously, Devontae Smith winning, which I'm glad that happened because he was the best player in college football. I'm glad a receiver.
First wide receiver to win the award since Desmond Howard
in 91. Or 91 or 90. I think it's 91. That's insane.
It was 91, 92, or 93. Yeah. Desmond Howard was the last true wide receiver to win the award.
And that's because it's been quarterback, running back.
First time. So first non-quarterback or running back to certainly win the award since the year 2000.
Right. So, yeah, good.
It was all quarterbacks, 3 running backs, 1. It was
Woodson's
Reggie won. Bush, Woodson Derrick Henry, and who's the other running back that I'm missing? Mark Ingram.
Yeah, and then Woodson won it.
Since 2000, it's been all quarterbacks except Reggie Bush, Ingram, and
Because Woodson was like 97, I believe. But
he was the last defense. Primarily defensive.
Yeah, he was a returner, too. But anyway, so Alabama. It sucks. I mean, they didn't dominate. They dominated Notre Dame. The score was probably closer than Notre Dame covered. Backdoor cover at the end. Huge. I had a good day Saturday betting football. But
you're smirking as you say they backdoor cover.
It was great.
So proud of yourself.
It was awesome. Bama, I wouldn't say. I think it's going to be like a 2-touchdown game here. I hope Ohio State keeps it close, but I think Bama's offense is too much for the defense. Because the one weakness Ohio State has is probably their defense. Like you would say, obviously, their offense is pretty elite. Fields is playing at an elite level. Master Teague and
Trey Sermon.
Sermon, yeah. He just rushes like crazy. But Bama's only favored by like 8, which it's tempting to take Ohio State plus. I think Bama covers that. I hope it's closer than I predict it to be. Bama's just another one of those years. I mean, they're always there, but this year is another like elite. Like last year, they didn't make it to the playoff first time the whole time. This year, they obviously make it again. They're pretty elite this year. Like Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, and Najee Harris, the running back, were the top. Yeah, so it went.
I do like Harris.
He was supposed to go to Michigan. Or not supposed to. He was Chris Sabalin, too, so I guess he was supposed to.
But he didn't. So
Why would he? But I like Bama. I do. What about you?
And I'm going to get right on the border of how a lot of people feel here, okay? There are a lot of our listeners that don't believe Ohio State should have been in because they only played 5-6 games.
I believe they should have, by the way.
I do think that eye test, which is part of the playoff decision-making, the eye test, Ohio State was one of the best 4 teams that I saw this year, okay? But going into this game, number one, Dabo, thank you for the fuel to beat you.
Calling That's why I bet Ohio State. That was such a joke. It's such a dumb move.
I ordered a shirt that says it's the shape of Ohio and it's got the number 11 in it. I ordered
so one. Dumb.
it was excuse me, it was the perfect fuel to a fire after the last two times you beat us in playoffs. Yeah, screw you guys. It was the perfect fuel. But I think that the fact that Ohio State hasn't played as many games, Ohio State's played 6-7 games. Alabama, I think, is 12-0. They've played almost twice as many games as we have. That wear and tear is going to make a big difference on a two-week break, because the guys from Ohio State are like, yeah, I'm a little bit beat up. The guys from Alabama are like, yo, we just played a 10-game, 8-game, 9-game SEC schedule. Got our rear ends kicked, worked our way to get here. And, oh, by the way, we're going to go play a team that's almost always one of the best in the country, and they've played half as many games as us. I think Ohio State finds a way to squeak this out. I'm going to go with my fanhood here. I'm going to take the Buckeyes. I'm not gambling on this game because I do not gamble on teams that I have emotional support to. But I'm going to take Ohio State in this game. If you want to say a gamble, then, of course, I'm going to just take money line because I'm straight up.
See, that's right there what you're explaining, how they're more fresh is why a lot of people didn't want them in. You know what I mean? But, like, it's not like it was their fault. Like,
I know it's not why you don't want them in, but first of all, it's Michigan's fault. Yes, it is, Tyler. Go back and read the articles. Michigan was the number one team that stopped Big Ten football, Big Ten athletics from happening. Thank you, Gretchen Whitmer, our beautiful governor. And I'm going to stay out of politics here, but the politics did play a big factor in why sports couldn't happen because of public gatherings. But Michigan was a big reason that Big Ten football almost didn't happen. And now that it's happened, it looks like from an outsider, like look at it from outside Ohio State and Michigan, it looks like two step siblings quarreling and Michigan going, oh, he stole my lunchbox, but yet no one stole your lunchbox. You're just complaining about nothing. So Ohio State does deserve to be there. They're one of the best four teams in the country. I'm going to take Ohio State in this game straight up.
Well, they obviously proved it after killing Clemson, so I'm glad that happened because I thought they should have been there too. And I hope it's a good. It's Monday night, right? Yeah,
if Ohio State does win this game too, and I'm going to add this, Nick Saban is the best college football coach I've ever seen. If Ohio State wins this game, Ryan Day is immediately going to become a legend. Because he came in short notice, filling in for Urban Meyer, continuing the tradition. If he wins the national title, Ryan Day is going to look like a Greek god to a lot of people. Because winning this game against a Nick Saban-led Alabama Crimson Tide, one of the best programs in college dynasties. Football in the last 10 years, since he left the LSU, he was good. He won national champion there, went to Dolphins. Now he's at Alabama. And since he's been at Alabama, they've been dominant. If Ryan Day and Justin Fields and these Buckeyes can win this game, this is going to elevate Ryan Day to a level that is unprecedented. And I'm really excited to watch the football game.
Yeah, me too. I think it's Monday night. Yeah, college football usually does it on Mondays, which is whatever. Yeah, it's going to be a great game. Like I said, I think Bama rolls just because of their offensive firepower. And Jalen Waddle, who was hurt, the receiver, he was supposed to be better than Smith. He got hurt beginning of the year. He might be back. So that he might be as like a decoy, maybe I could see. So that'd be a big.
I think Alabama has more talented offense.
They do.
But
they
I think Ohio State clicks better.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So
we will see.
I'm excited.
So last thing we're going to talk about before we sign off tonight is basketball.
Yes.
NBA, NCAA. Tyler, you're the basketball wizard. I'm not going to pretend that I know as much as you. So, Tyler, let me ask you this. Who's the best team in the NBA right now?
NBA, I still got to go with...
Give me your top three.
Top three? It's early, but obviously Lakers. Lakers are probably number one. LeBron hasn't... Him and AD are resting every once in a while, but it's early. They're coming off that short break, really, from... They literally just won the ship. They're 6-2 still. They're tied for first with the Phoenix Suns, who have been a huge surprise in the NBA, adding Chris Paul. They have Devin Booker already there. DeAndre Ayton. I love them.
I don't know if they're that much of a surprise when they perform so well in the bubble.
That's true. They're still hot from that, literally. So Suns and Lakers are 1-2, or really just 1. And then Clippers in the West, they're 6-3. So I would say top three for me are Lakers. The Sixers are a huge surprise team for me. Tech, they're 7-2 to start the year. Embiid's playing like an MVP type of player right now. And Ben Simmons, I think, is one of the better players in the league. He can't shoot a three, but I don't care. He does everything else phenomenally. So top three, though. Right now, let's go with the LAs. So we go Lakers 1, Clippers 2, and then Sixers 3. I think the Nets are going to be the best team in the league, though, with KD's out because of COVID this week. I think the Nets are going to come out of the East in the finals, and it's going to be a really good finals matchup, probably with the Lakers or Clippers, in my opinion. So, yeah, that's NBA. But I want to get into college basketball, EJ, for one certain reason. The Michigan Wolverines right now are on a tear. They're playing unreal.
Yeah, yeah.
10-0, and they're just dominating literally every team they play. They just played back-to-back ranked Big Ten opponents in Northwestern and Minnesota and won by over 20 in both of those games easily. 85-66 against Northwestern and then 82-57 last night against Minnesota. Hunter Dickinson is... He's a freshman. He's freshman of the week every week. He's a center for them. He's averaging 18-8. He scored 28 last night. He's a freak. And Michigan basketball right now, it's in a whole different world than like they're compared to the football program. Michigan is a basketball school right now. They're, like, straight up, they have been since Beeline took over. They're more.
You've never not been a basketball school, though. But like they've always had.
No,
since
I know.
Since 1990, you've had decent basketball.
But everyone says Michigan's a football school. They're a blue blood football. That's what the thing is. No.
As an Ohio State fan, I can tell you that's not true.
That's what I just
back
said.
Back up EJ. Your basketball right now.
That's what I just said, EJ. That's why I said they're a basketball
I know. I'm school. Just. No, you said people think they're a football school. I just do. Want to talk to those people that think that, you're wrong. Like, I just want to make sure they know that. As a hater of the University of Michigan.
Most wins ever. But anyway.
Okay, I got to.
Am I wrong?
Do you want to do this?
No, because I know what you're going to say. And I don't really like the argument. The
most win a game.
Yeah.
Win a game.
We're talking about basketball right now.
You started it.
Yeah, so they're a basketball school.
Okay.
And they are.
They are good.
10-0 right now. 10-0 right now.
I'll shut up.
Haven't lost. 4-0, or let's see, 5-0 in the Big Ten. Just dominating. And let me mention, they have the number one recruiting class coming in next year in the nation right now. So... It's Juwan Howard has done a fantastic job, and the thing with him, he's been in the NBA, 18 year vet or something like that, coached in the NBA for a little bit. He knows how to get these players to come, and like he knows how to treat them as men, and like honest conversations about going to the league. It's just been really good, and obviously the Big Ten is it's a gauntlet. There's like 9 teams ranked in the top 25, 3 top 10 right now.
Well, and one thing that Michigan's done really well. Is they went undefeated in December. And I know that sounds like a random statistic, but December, there's always a lot of tournaments. You play a lot of top talent.
Yeah.
To go undefeated in December, they beat 2 ranked teams in December, and they've already beaten 2 ranked teams so far in January. Like, they're on a good run. You're December basketball is kind of that setup point where you can make the rest of your season great. Or you can decide, like, okay, well, no, we're going to be fighters, and you lose a couple games. But they've come out. They're playing confident. They have great matchups coming up. They got to play Wisconsin. They got to play Minnesota again. They got to play Indiana. Indiana's unranked right now, but the Hoosiers are not walk-through yeah. basketball team.
Well, they got a
Michigan's
gauntlet.
Michigan's great this year. They look very, very good.
Yeah. There's a stretch in February where it's State, Illinois, Wisconsin, Rutgers. That's 4 straight ranked teams, and they haven't played Iowa yet, which that's going to be the biggest. I don't know. It's just looking really good, and they have Livers, who's a senior, who's been stepping up. Franz Wagner, who's Mo Wagner's brother, he's going to be a first-round draft pick. Now, I don't know about this year, but if he stays, he would definitely be the next year. Everything's just coming into its own right now, and overall, they're not the best team in the country. I still think Gonzaga is. They're just dominant. They're in the conference play now, but they're going to go undefeated this year. Michigan's just – they're 10th right now. They're going to move up for sure. Probably
who's the best team in the Big Ten? Is it Iowa? Is it Wisconsin? Is it Michigan? Who is it?
Okay, I thought you were going to say Michigan. It's not Michigan State. They've been bad this year. I'm not just saying that because I don't like them.
I'll say this, that was rude of me to not mention them because Izzo does find a way to make Michigan State relevant at the end of the year, every year.
Yeah, okay. They've been struggling.
So they've been struggling, but they're still a ranked team. Okay, they're still 23rd in the country.
Yeah,
they're still 8-3. Yeah. They still have one of the greatest coaches in the history of college basketball. Okay, they're gonna make noise at the end of the year.
Isn't that crazy? You know that, right?
That he was from Iron Mountain.
Yeah, you're from Ohio.
Did you hear that the basketball BS that happened with him a couple years ago? So he came into Iron Mountain because they were in the playoffs of the UP State Championship. They were down in Lansing. Excuse me.
And he wanted to buy him dinner.
He wanted to buy him dinner. And NCAA rules said that was kind of BS. Yeah, because
it was like a violation, like recruiting violation.
If it would have been you or me, nobody would have cared. But that was just a guy supporting his local high school. Like, you've seen me at Escanaba events, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to buy these tickets. I'm going to support my booth. Like, I'm not from here, and I still support the community. Like, that's just a guy that's from where he's from trying to support his community. That was BS.
Yeah. Anyway, but best team in the Big Ten, it's either Michigan or Iowa. Right now, I think Michigan is how they've been playing. They're so deep, and they're unselfish. That's the big thing with Michigan basketball right now. They don't care who scores, which in college basketball, that's a big thing that a lot of schools like struggle with because they're trying to get to the league. Like, it's a showcase type thing. And like right now, Michigan does not care who scores, or it's just great. Iowa, they have obviously Luka Garza, who's playing incredible, might be player of the year. Then they have a bunch of 3-point shooters, Jordan Bohannon, Frederick, and McCaffrey, who's Iowa's coach's son. It's those two. I think it's those two, and then Wisconsin would be third for me. And then Illinois is a sleeper team too. They're ranked 12th. The Big Ten is just so stacked. It's so stacked.
I think Michigan's the second best team in the Big Ten. I think Iowa still is because Garza is so good. Like, but you lost to Gonzaga by 11.
And then you
lost to Minnesota.
See, they've been
overtime
struggling
when they were unranked.
Right, that was on Christmas.
Like, okay, you can have that loss to Gonzaga, because they have been one of the best basketball programs in the country, regardless of record or anything. Like, if I were a fan of true basketball, and I'm like, I want to send my kid to any university in the last 20 years, I want to send him to Gonzaga. Like, they have won tournament games. They've won you bets. They play fantastic. They're competing for national championships now. And now when you say Gonzaga, what's the first thing you think about is basketball. And they've done basketball very well. But they've done that so well in Spokane. And I think that Iowa losing that game wasn't a big deal, but losing to an unranked Minnesota was.
I still think,
and that was an overtime game that they lost to Minnesota. Okay, so it's kind of still a little cheeky. But I think Iowa is the best basketball team in the Big Ten this year. I think Garza is an incredible talent. I think he's going to – I do think he will translate to the NBA very well, but I don't think he'll be like a 20, 30-point guy. I think he'll be like a 10, 15, 20 guy. Yeah, 10 and 10 guy. But I like the way he plays the game. I think he's great in college basketball. I think he could be one of those guys like a Tyler Hansborough. Right, where you look at him, it's like, oh, this is the greatest college basketball player I've ever seen. As soon as he goes to the NBA, it's like, this guy's an idiot.
Right. There's
Hansborough was probably the best college basketball player I've ever seen suck at being an NBA player.
He was bad.
He was so good in college, though.
North Carolina, he was, very good. But, so that kind of wraps up basketball. I love, obviously, talking about basketball. We'll be doing that more, especially after football is done. I mean, It's going to be basketball the whole time, pretty much. Like, obviously, we'll talk about football, but when those playoffs are done and stuff.
Look, I think we need to start dabbling in a little NHL, too.
Yeah,
we'll talk about our teams, but we always wrap up every show with our gambling segment, okay? And we're not going to make any actual trackable bets this week, although we did each name a couple bets that we're going to make. The 2020 championship for gambling does go to Tyler this year. 6-7 versus my 4-8.
Not great either way.
Obviously, if there's anything you learn from this, don't follow either of us with a significant amount of money. But
it's a new year.
We're going to do a new year, new title, new belt. I think I might actually – should we order a belt? Should we get a championship belt?
Something.
We should get a belt.
Or like a bet.
I've been on my wrestling kick. Let's get a belt.
Yeah, you should do it now while you're still on the kick.
Yeah, right. So we'll get a belt, and we're going to do every month the belt will exchange. So every week we'll make our bets as our shows go. We'll decide how many bets each week. We'll try to make sure it stays even. At the end of the month, we have to have the same amount of bets. If for whatever reason there's some kind of tiebreaker, we'll figure it out. So the new championship, new season, Tyler. Tip my cap to you. Congratulations, champion of 2020.
Thank you.
On the hot seat gambling segment. So that's going to wrap up this week's edition of the hot seat. I actually was trying to, I'll be honest with you, I want to shoot for like 30, 45 minutes today just because I've been so tired. But this has been a fantastic show. First show of 2020. Feels so, Tyler.
2021. I'm going to be saying 2020 for a while.
That's how tired I am. I don't even know what day it is. I don't even know what year it is. So, Tyler, thank you so much for joining us this week. What do you got going on?
Football weekend, man. Football weekend. You know, you got – we were talking Saturday,
I think we – I might be hanging out with your dad at Sallow's Basement Bar this weekend.
Really? Okay.
I got the invite. Like, that's an Escanaba thing for those local listeners. This is supposed to be big weekend for me. I'm about to make it to the big time locally. About to be a staple in society. But
yeah, so football all weekend. And then Monday night, college football championship. It's going to be a good weekend. I'm excited.
It'll be fun. So, Tyler, thank you so much for joining us. Tyler is Escanaba Excellence. He's a notorious N-O-R-S-E. Tyler, thank you again, as always, for joining us.
Thank you, EJ. Yes, sir.
So, this episode of The Hot Seat is powered by The Game Entertainment and Media. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.com, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, Podbean, Podtail, Podworld. Again, I still don't think that's a real one, but I say it every week. Check us out online. We're here, again, sponsored by Moe's Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. I can still speak English. Best place to catch the game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba. Again, new sponsor, So Right. Check it out, SoRight.com, PSORITE.com. So Right is a fantastic fitness product. I use it every time I go golfing. It's a great way to stretch yourself, make sure that you're staying physically fit and keeping your muscles in perfect condition. So Right, PSORITE.com. Check them out. We'll get a discount code for you soon. I am EJ Russell. He is Tyler Ouellette.
Yes, sir.
And we'll check you out on next week's edition of The Hot Seats, powered by The Game Entertainment Media. We will see you.